Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It only happens about once a month or so, but sometimes I get so fired up for the podcast, I can't wait to hit that red button to start recording, and this is one of those days. I got a lot of topics here today. I had no idea where to start and lead this podcast because I have two things I want to lead with. One is about draft strategy, not particular to a team or individual players, but draft strategy that I've been passionate about for many, many years because I think it's far more important than dissecting players and looking at positions or trade possibilities, things like that, that never come to fruition. The other is the best solution we've heard yet about how to end these stupid protests of these Hamas freaks that are running around New York burning stuff and getting arrested and all the things that they're doing. And there's a tremendous solution on board as more and more, I guess, protesters are being imported by George Soros and some of those people. So we're going to get to all of it today. I promise we're going to get to all of it. Our presenting sponsor today is Aspen Wealth Management. I got an email from Trevor Holsinger yesterday over at Aspen Wealth, and he is so impressed by many of you that are calling him with questions about what to do with your 401ks or your IRAs or how to start planning for your future or what the markets are going to do and what his thoughts are. So he responded to me with an email that I'm actually quite surprised he's offering to do this because nobody does this. But he really likes the listeners of KKHI, and he says, here's what we'll do. We'll allow him to come in for a free financial checkup, no strings attached. If you are having a financial issue, if you're between jobs, if you're having this issue or that issue, and you just don't know what you're supposed to do, if debt is a problem, if interest rates are a problem, you can visit with Trevor. He'll give you a little bit of his time absolutely free for a financial checkup. He'll just take a look at what you're doing. Okay, and we're not talking necessarily about investments here, just what you're doing. If you know somebody, especially parents or grandparents, if you know young people in their 20s or 30s, maybe that are having a harder time figuring it all out, trying to make it all work, this would be a great guy, a great resource to use, and I can't believe that he has offered that up for our listeners absolutely free. If you'd like a free financial checkup, call Trevor Holsinger at Aspen Wealth, 491-0500. That's 913-491-0500. And he says also ask about dynamic smart portfolios, tactical asset allocation, and of course, Rose Rock, which designed to capture the equity market appreciation but protect you during downturns. They've got some great ideas on that. If you're into investing, if you want to learn about a better way to invest, is Aspen the place for you? I think it could be. Aspen Wealth Management online at aspenwealth.com. That's awesome. Free. Who does anything for free? Free. I love that. Let's start with the NFL draft and something that I have said for many years. I used to get more and more frustrated with the Chiefs. It started with Carl Peterson as the general manager. This would be way back in the 90s. And the Chiefs were risk averse to drafting a quarterback for one simple reason. And Carl Peterson hated me for saying this. I said it over and over and over. I said, Carl Peterson is too chicken spit to draft a quarterback because if it fails, he'll get fired. And he wants to be the president and the CEO and the general manager of this team for 25 years because he's making millions of dollars and it's a great gig and they called him King Carl. And he ran the organization for Lamar Hunt, who largely was not here and was hands off. Lamar Hunt liked to hand his team over to somebody like Jack Stedman or Carl Peterson to run the football team. And as long as Carl didn't draft a quarterback in the first round that went bust, he wasn't going to get fired. He hired Marty Schottenheimer. They made the playoffs. They ran the football. They had an offensive line. And then they got beat by John Elway and better quarterbacks. And you could see what the sport of football became in the 1980s. Everybody could see this in the 80s. It became a passing game. It's become more and more and more of a passing game. And here we are in 2024, and everybody can see it. And as the years have gone by, there has been less and less and less reason to draft offensive linemen high. Yet we still see teams do this all the time. It's absolutely insane. The reason they do it is simple. It's general managers protecting their jobs. It's not winning football games. Now, I'm about to prove this to you, and I don't like doing statistics on this podcast because it's better on a piece of paper than me trying to explain it. So hopefully, I have the acumen and professionalism to present this in a way that is easy to understand and I get the point across. So here we go. Paul Hembo is at ESPN. He's a researcher. They do a sneaky Hembo trivia thing every morning on the morning show on ESPN. He's a producer, but he's a fact guy. And he has put out a chart of the safest draft choices possible in the first round. And his metric for a safe draft choice is, did you sign that player to a second contract? Simple enough. You draft a player in the first round, did you sign him to a second contract? So he believes those are the best first-round picks. No argument. Patrick Mahomes, pretty good first-round pick. Second contract. We see the point here, right? So Paul Hembo breaks this out. First-round draft choices that got a second-round contract. The safest position is, unsurprisingly, center. Because who in their right mind can tell whether a center's doing his job or not unless there's a bunch of botched snaps? Right? Center, 92% of centers drafted in the first round get a second contract. Number two highest percentage, offensive tackles. Offensive tackles drafted in the first round get a second contract 59% of the time. Square in the middle of the pack is quarterbacks. And I will argue that most quarterbacks drafted in the first round that get a second quarter, that get a second contract, get the second contract because the general manager is keeping his job. The quarterback hasn't really been good, hasn't won a playoff game. Like Justin Herbert hasn't won anything, right? He hasn't won anything, but they sign him to a second contract. He's getting paid. They're in the middle of the pack. At the very bottom, the hardest positions to draft, at 33% getting a second contract is tight end, and dead last getting a second contract is wide receiver at only 27%. So we all want the Chiefs to take a wide receiver here, including me. I have no problem with it. This is where the Chiefs, again, are playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers. They've won three Super Bowls. They have the quarterback in place. So quarterback's off the board. You don't waste your top picks on offensive linemen. Now, they can. They're actually in a weird spot where they can because they have so much of everything else. But again, general managers love to pick offensive linemen high because they're safe picks and you keep your job. And it's proven with the statistics here. It's easy to see. The Chiefs have missed on some wide receivers. There's no question about that. And they may miss this year. They may draft a wide receiver that's no good, but they just hit on Rashee Rice, didn't they? That was pretty good. So that's where I'd like to see him go. But I don't really care. I trust the Chiefs, whatever they do. Whatever they do, they know what they're doing. There's a wonderful chart out there from Sharp Football. It's called Total Draft Capital Used by Offensive Linemen Per Year. And this is a five-year study, 2019 to 2023. And the Kansas City Chiefs, offensive line, draft capital used for offensive linemen. The Chiefs, over 5 years, are 30th out of 32. Meaning they have used almost the least draft capital on offensive line of any team in the NFL. Over that time period, they've won three Super Bowls. Okay? So here we go. The Chiefs, and this is from 19 to 23, draft capital, this is their rank out of 32 teams on offensive linemen, 26, 16, 18, 23, and 19. So they're generally in the middle to lower third of the draft in offensive line, but they're very consistent. They don't ignore it. They don't get crazy and jump up to number five and do something nuts and you know, bust out a trade for a tackle and move up 10 spots in the first round to get him. And they don't ignore the position and finish dead last. So consistently over time, anywhere between 16th and 26th in the draft in offensive line capital used, that grades you out over time as 30th in the league, near the bottom of paying of draft capital used. What's interesting of this got pointed out because the number one and two teams in draft capital over the last 5 years for offensive linemen are actually number one and two worst protecting their quarterback. Okay? So the most draft capital spent over the last 5 years are actually the two worst teams protecting their quarterback, and that's the Giants and the Jets. Number one and number two. Do you want to hear the teams that have not used draft capital? We have the Chiefs at number 30. They've won three Super Bowls. Oh, we have the Rams at 28. They won the other Super Bowl in the last 4 years. We have the Niners at 31. They've been in a couple of Super Bowls and are the dominant team and program in the NFC. So we have 28, 30, and 31 in draft capital on offensive line as the best teams in football over the last 5 years. We also have the Bills at number 26. I rest my case. I'm glad they brought these stats up, and it's awesome to use them. It's easy to see, folks. We've been knowing this for years. We watched the Chiefs draft offensive linemen over and over and over, and they would occasionally get to the playoffs. They'd occasionally have a nice year, but they never won when the game mattered. Because you know what your offensive lineman doesn't do? The offensive lineman doesn't throw a left-handed pass when you need a first down in Denver. He doesn't go to the huddle and call WASP and heave one downfield to Tyreek Hill to completely turn around a Super Bowl. He doesn't drive his field down with all those completions and win the game in overtime. It's not what an offensive lineman does. Offensive linemen are important. They are not skill position players. It's checkers versus chess. I rest my case. The Royals get a gift on Tuesday night from the Toronto Blue Jays, and after losing three in a row, they'll take a gift. Vlad Guerrero over at first base, Jr., just dropped a throw that kept an inning alive. It appeared that he lost it in the lights of the scoreboard out by left field and never really saw it because anybody could have caught this ball. The inning was extended. Bobby Witt made him pay. He doubled down the left field line. The Royals score two runs. They take the lead, and they win this game. 3-2, and Michael Wacha was solid in this game. So he brought back the starting pitching, but he didn't go deep. This required the bullpen, and the bullpen was stellar for the Royals. They seem to have figured out the back end of their bullpen. They did this before the end of April, which did not seem a possibility earlier this year, but they did. It's going to go Schreiber, Stratton, and MacArthur. Schreiber and Stratton can be used either way. MacArthur's the closer. He gets his fifth save. Because they had lost three in a row, Matt Cotuero did something that Ned Yost used to hate doing. And my mother loves when managers do this and can't stand it when they don't. This team had lost three in a row. It was a night to run MacArthur out there in the eighth and the ninth. And he did. And the Royals won. So we can go ahead and say this. This manager is figuring it out as he goes. MacArthur, I don't want to get too excited about this, but he made some nice appearances last year. This is not an old veteran player. This is a guy in his 20s. He's a Royals player. He came up in the minors. And it looks like he may have what it takes. They're calling him the general. Obviously, his last name is MacArthur. They're calling him the general. This is his fifth save. And it looks pretty good. It looks like he may have what it takes to be a closer. So if the Royals, if Stratton or Schreiber, either one of them becomes just a really above average or slightly above average setup guy, and MacArthur becomes a legitimate closer, Royals got something going here. Now we're talking about bridges, or as the season goes on, we see more and more efforts where starting pitchers can go seven innings. So hopefully the Royals will get to that point with their starting pitching, but this was a good night. It was a good night because, you know, I called my mom right after the game. She said, they got away with one tonight. I said, sorta. Other teams will make mistakes, but you have to capitalize on it. And when the other team makes a mistake and you have Bobby Witt Jr. and he hammers one down the left field line for a double to score two runs, you've got a superstar player that made him pay. Bobby Witt had three hits on this night. He made some sensational plays at shortstop. The statistic that Ryan gave last night was astounding to me. I don't know if you've heard this or not. If this sticks, this will be the highest in the history of baseball, I believe. This is unbelievable. Bobby Witt Jr., they're putting the radar gun on his throws from shortstop to first base. He is averaging, averaging. He is averaging 91 miles per hour on his throws to first base. The highest in Major League Baseball. And I'm just going to go ahead and offer this up. That will be the highest in the history of Major League Baseball. Somebody ask Pasquatch if his hand hurts or if he needs more padding in his glove. And so many of these plays are at deep short or they're double play turns or whatever. This dude's dad was a pitcher. You want to talk about a guy with a gun? Bobby Witt Jr. if he came in, you know, if you ever needed that late reliever because it's an 11-0 game or whatever, they're not going to do it with Bobby Witt because they don't want to hurt his arm. I'm pretty sure the dude could hit 95 on the gun. If he's throwing 91 from shortstop, I'm thinking standing on a mound throwing downhill, he can hit 95. It's just remarkable some of the things going on with this young guy. What a player. What a player and what a big hit as the Royals beat the Blue Jays, and they needed it to stop the streak. Now, my bar is lowered. That's 14-10. That's good for the Royals. I'll take one of the next two. Let's not go back to the losing ways. Let's split this series with Toronto. They're a pretty good team. It was Bark at the Park on Tuesday night. We mentioned this because it sold out. 500 dogs at the game. It was sold out. And each time they hook up with a shelter, and you've heard a lot of the big ones about shelters. You've heard about Wayside Waves, KC Pet Projects, some of these other things. This was an organization called Positive Tales. P-A-W, Positive Tales, which is how we got our beloved little Cabo 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago. Cabo was an orphan that was born in the cold in January and spent his first 10 days outside freezing before Positive Tales rescued the litter and found a foster home for them. There is no shelter. There is no drop-off place. This is technology. It's Facebook. It's online. It's PositiveTalesKC.org. It's P-A-W, PositiveTalesKC.org. If you see it in you and you love animals and you like to kick in a 20, they'd take it. PositiveTalesKC.org is a smaller organization. It is a network of blessed women, largely. I'm sure there are some men that help, but mostly it's women. When we went to see Cabo, and his freaking name was Peter Pan when we went to see him. When we went to see Peter Pan, there were 11 dogs and cats in this house, puppies and kittens, and she's fostering them all until they're adopted. She feeds them. She puts down puppy pads. It's the middle of winter. There's snow on the ground. It's a difficult situation. We're like, wow, let's get Peter Pan out of here and rename him fast. And we did. And it was a cold winter, and there was a lot of snow, and he was a tiny little puppy at 9 weeks old. And I had to shovel snow on the front lawn to create a place for him to pee and teach him to pee. And we took him out every hour in the freezing cold, and he was a trooper. And he doesn't really mind the cold, but it was a terrible start to his life. In a rural area, born in a litter that they wouldn't let in the house or keep warm, Positive Tales rescued these dogs, and we have the most beloved dog that you could possibly have. And it's because who are these people? Who are these beautiful people that take 11 puppies and kittens in their home and foster them until they find a home? And that was Positive Tales on Tuesday night. And they mentioned the name that, hey, Positive Tales benefits, but they don't really say what they do. This is love, man. This is a passion. This isn't a shelter. This isn't an organization that has million-dollar fundraisers. Those places are awesome, and we support them too. This is just good people doing great things for little creatures. PositiveTalesKC.org, if you'd like to help them out. Congratulations on them selling out last night. That's awesome. University of Missouri got a terrific athletic director. I can say it because I know Laird Veach. I've known him for a long time. He's a good man. He's a family man. He's really good at what he does. He, you know, sharpened his teeth at Mizzou from 97 to 02. He was at Kansas State after that, where he played football under Bill Snyder. This guy just gets it, and he's very Midwest, and he understands the area, and he's going to connect. He's probably already connected with a lot of Missouri people. He's going to connect with Missouri people better than the previous AD. This is your guy. I will not be surprised if Laird Veach is at Missouri for 20 years. He's going to be great for Mizzou. He's going to be great with the people there. I'm a little bit jealous. I think a lot of Kansas State fans thought Laird Veach would eventually be their athletic director, but Gene Taylor was hired, and he's done such a great job. There's no moving Gene Taylor out. Gene Taylor's been a rock star at K-State with the coaches he's hired and the things that he's done. Laird Veach is going to be that at Missouri. It's a great time to be the AD at Mizzou. There's a new project going in the end zone there, $250 million. Money is flowing. The SEC is getting bigger and stronger. Missouri's coming off a tremendous football season. He doesn't have any big decision to make in football for quite some time. Maybe it will be a long, long time if Eli just keeps winning. He's going to have a basketball program to look at after next year. If Dennis Gates does not make the tournament, especially with all the NIL money Missouri's spending and the recruits they're bringing in, if they don't win next year, he's going to have a decision to make there. But Laird Veach is your guy. You got your guy, Mizzou fans. Thumbs up from Kev. And I only can say this because I know him. It's not a resume thing with me, although he's got a great resume. He's been at this a long time. He's earned this. He comes from Memphis, where his specialty and what they brag about most was the NIL program that he put in there and the athletes they were getting in, which is probably the most important thing now for an AD, is the coach you hire and the NIL money you raise. And, of course, how you spend it. Laird Veach, good one. At Mizzou, congratulations. KKHI is brought to you by McConnell & Associates and Bart Danler, our friend over there. Wherever you walk, park, or play, McConnell & Associates has paved it, sealed it, restriped it, designed it, or built it. Almost anywhere. They also do sports surfaces. They do tennis courts, pickleball courts, foundations around pools, all the toppings, everything they do around swimming pools, all kinds of cool stuff. Running tracks, other outdoor sports surfaces. They manufacture pavement sealers for asphalt, specifically seal coat and sealer. They manufacture coatings for sports surfaces. If you're on an HOA or a neighborhood board or a municipality and you've got some tennis courts or pickleball courts that need to be redone, McConnell Associates is it. Of course they do sidewalks and streets and parking lots. Call Bart Danler, 816-287-3330. That's 816-287-3330, or look up McConnell & Associates at thekklist.com. We'll direct you right to their website at thekklist. Thekklist.com will link you straight to McConnell & Associates. If you're on a city council, or if you live, you know, we get a lot of people listening in smaller areas, Ottawa, outside of Kansas City. We're good here, man. They're in St. Louis. They're in Wichita. Any of these smaller communities, rural areas, they will come redo your surfaces for you. McConnell & Associates, Bart Danler, 816-287-3330. Call them no matter where you live. They can do the work for you. Ticketsforless.com. Oh, they got some great ideas here. The NFL schedule is coming out May 9th. It's right around the corner. When it comes out, Tickets for Less is your go-to source for every Chiefs home game. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Houston, the usual suspects coming to Arrowhead. It's going to be rocking. Don't forget, as the Chiefs go for the three-peat, use your promo code KKHI. And they pass along this note like B-Stock did this week. Our friends over at B-Stock.net, this is a ridiculously great graduation gift. So we're not graduating anybody again, but we're going to give away graduation gifts all the time. We have friends with high school kids, college kids, whatever. What a phenomenal graduation gift to give. A Tickets for Less gift card. Ridiculous. $50 gift card. Doesn't matter. They want to go to a concert. That's $50 less than they'll have to spend. Kids love concerts and events and sporting events. Tickets for Less gift cards. Unbelievable for graduation. Log on to ticketsforless.com or call 913-685-3322. And don't forget, you can walk right in. This is old school, folks. You can walk right in at ticketsforless.com at 130th and Metcalf in Overland Park. We love that about ticketsforless.com. The NCAA is meeting on Thursday. We'll see where this goes. I'm skeptical. The NCAA, because the NAIA had adopted language about trans athletes, about males, biological males declaring as women and competing as women. The NAIA has a lot of religious schools. They're much more conservative. They're more old school college sports than the NCAA. This will be interesting to see what happens to the NCAA. They're going to get pushback from all kinds of places like Cal, Stanford, you know the usual suspects here, Northwestern. There's going to be a lot of that, a lot of pushback. But they are meeting on Thursday to discuss adopting, if not the identical, the nearly identical language of the NAIA regarding transgenders in sports competition. What the NCAA can regulate, they cannot regulate you being a trans, they cannot regulate you being part of a team. What they can do is pass a rule that says you cannot compete in an NCAA-sanctioned competition. They are well within their rights to do that. Just as they can say you can't compete if you're on steroids, just that they can say you can't compete if your eligibility is expired. There's all kinds of reasons you can't compete, and this would be one. It's a simple solution that the NAIA came up with, and the NCAA should adopt it immediately. We will see what they do on Thursday. Stadium issues are big in Kansas City. They're big in a lot of places. Chicago, okay. They're going sort of downtown. Soldier Field is on the lake. It's south of downtown. They're not going into the city downtown. They now no longer want to renovate Soldier Field, which was renovated in 2003. They were talking about renovating it more and putting a dome over it. They've shut that down. They want a brand new stadium south of where the current stadium is. And they say it will take $3.2 billion to build that stadium. They also want another $1.4 billion around it. That's 4.6. The 1.4 around it, they're calling, quote, infrastructure. They're not doing like KU football saying Gateway Project. They're not doing like the Royals saying Ballpark Village. They're saying infrastructure. They're leading taxpayers to believe that they need new roads to go in there and bridges. That's $1.4 billion. I can see, especially in Illinois where it's so corrupt and dirty and they just print money and give it away and do whatever, that 1.4 is easy. We'll call it infrastructure. That's public funding. Okay. The Bears say they're putting in $2.3 billion. That's a big, big, big number. The Bears are going to put in half, 2.3. But really, it's 2.3 to the stadium and then $900 million from taxpayers for the stadium. So they're going to be asking essentially for their stadium $900 million out of a $4.6 billion project. I think we use this as framework here in Kansas City. I think the Royals should be looking at these numbers. I think the Chiefs should be looking at these numbers. I know the Chiefs could build way cheaper than this at the Legends. It would not cost $3.2 billion to build the stadium there. It would be cheaper and easier to build there than it would on the lakefront in Chicago. We know that. So let's take maybe 10% or 15% off that number. Let's go down to $2.9 billion for a really, really cool new stadium. I'm sure the land gets kicked in free. They get the tax deferment for 20 years, the sales tax deferment. They're going to get a huge break from the state of Kansas. That's totally doable. They won't need $1.4 billion in infrastructure around it. If they want to build their own private Hall of Fame or restaurant row or bars or entertainment district, they can do that. I think this is interesting to look at what they're doing in Chicago with the Bears. If you want to take a look, you can read more at pretty much any Chicago website on what it is the Bears are thinking about doing. Utah has a hockey team, and this is a little complicated. This is the Arizona Coyotes are relocating to Utah. But Arizona still gets a team if they get a stadium site and start building within the next 5 years. They've had an arena problem, and they need to be closer to Scottsdale and not over in Glendale where the football stadium is. So the owner has 5 years to get a site and start building an arena, and if he does, he gets his team back, the Arizona Coyotes. Utah's moving. The NHL's sort of going to own this thing for a while. They've got an owner and an operator in place, but it sounds like it has a great chance to stay in Utah, and then maybe Arizona would get a new team. It wouldn't move back. He has sold the team. It's gone. So Utah has a hockey team now, and they're trying to decide how to name it, and they're going to do a bracket contest. They're going to put 32 names in a bracket, and they're going to let people vote. I got to be the bad guy on this one because people are taking this seriously. They are not going to be honest about the vote. Because they're going to put some funny names in those brackets that they would never allow to be the name of the team. Of the 32, there will be at least a dozen that the new owners in the NHL would not allow to be the name of the team. Period. They won't. One suggested name, and it has a chance to make the brackets, and it should. This should be fun. Is the Utah Storm and Mormons. Which immediately makes me think of Norm Stewart. I love Storm and Norman, but the Storm and Mormons on the ice for a hockey team, pretty cool. No, it will be a normal name. I'm going to bet right now they have a top five, and it will be one of those top five, regardless of how the public votes, but it's fun when they do this anyways. So they're going to have a bracket contest to determine the name, or so they say. All right, the sale's going this week at Finch Knife Co. This is the best time ever to buy a Finch pocket knife. 20% off every single thing at their website. 20% off every single model. It's their Get Ready sale. They're running this through Sunday, and it's over. 20% off every knife 1 week only because the new models are coming in. FinchKnifeCo.com. FinchKnifeCo.com. Keep life from getting dull. I carry my Finch pocket knife everywhere I go now. I never thought I'd be that guy. I feel safer with it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I just feel safer with it. And it's amazing how many times I use it now that I've learned to become proficient and know how to use it. Jessica gets her Amazon packages. They come. I used to fight those things and get butter knives out and all this stupid stuff. I'm like, whoop, flip that thing open. Whoosh, whoosh, that box is open and we're good to go. You're going to love your Finch pocket knife. 20% off this week only at FinchKnifeCo.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet GMC in Excelsior Springs is the home of the lifetime warranty. Why buy anywhere else? If the lifetime warranty is kicked in free, why would you buy anywhere else than Roberts Robinson? Man, I saw a really, really, really cool GMC Canyon ATX4 on the showroom floor up there when I got my tires put on last week. Such a cool off-road machine, man. It is really awesome. It's a beautiful color of sort of burgundy red. Gorgeous truck. Absolutely spectacular. They got all kinds of cool stuff in stock right now at robertsrobinson.com. And Stroud's and Stroud's Catering. When was the last time you ate at Stroud's? I'm going to take my mom to Stroud's. She loves it. She's not the biggest chicken fan, but she loves their chicken fried steak. She likes fried chicken. She's not into like the chicken fingers, and she doesn't want a grilled chicken sandwich. But pan-fried chicken like that, she loves that, and she loves the chicken fried steak. Oak Ridge Manor in the Northland, 135th and 69 Highway in Overland Park. Don't forget now, really what this sponsorship is about at KKHI is catering. They want to do your picnic, your graduation party, your office party. They want to cater for you. Do something different. Stop with the sandwich tray. Stop with the pizza. Stroud's will do it for you. They got you covered. StroudsCatering.com. That's StroudsCatering.com, 913-563-5799. Call them and mention the podcast when you order at StroudsCatering.com. On to the news, and this one excites me too. I told you I'm just excited about this podcast. Sometimes you see little posts on X or Facebook or something like that, and you blow them off. We've mentioned this before. This has happened before on a couple of these things. I think we mentioned this during the BLM, and I'd sort of forgotten it, but we need to keep this alive because this is the solution. This is the question. This is what journalists are supposed to do. When you start asking, why can't we get these Hamas freaks off the streets in New York? Why can't we get them to leave? They're not getting out the water cannons, but they're setting things on fire. They're getting arrested. They're throwing things at cop. Over 100 at NYU got arrested the other night. If they're causing mayhem and causing trouble, what's the best way to get rid of them without escalation? And the answer is so simple, and nobody has tried it yet. Look, these people are camping out at Columbia University. They got brand new tents. Have you noticed this? They're like taking them out of the boxes and putting them up. They're getting them from REI. These are like $1,500 tents, expensive tents that George Soros is paying for. Yes, camp, create conflict. Let's do all this. Mayor Adams in New York is upset. He said, these are outside agitators coming in here. And they are. 2/3 of the protesters supporting Hamas are white girls. You've seen it. You know what it is. The angry white girls are all out. And so they're doing this. How do you get rid of these people? Well, they're all running around doing what? They got their selfie sticks. They're doing photos. They're doing videos. They're posting it. They're trying to cause a scene, go viral. They're begging for camera attention, all these things. The solution to stop this is cut off their Wi-Fi. Just cut it off. Take their cell service down to LTE to where the only thing you can do is call 911, that you can't even get on Twitter. You can't post. You can't put your stuff up. If you cut them off, they'll leave. They won't be able to stand it. This is worse than waterboarding for these people. I'm not kidding you. The Hamas protesters that go to Columbia University or NYU, the students, they would rather be waterboarded than have their phone cut off. I'm not joking. These people will go crazy. They'll run so fast. They'll leave so fast. They'll go six blocks down the street where it works. They're going to find them a coffee shop somewhere where they can catch up on everything going on TikTok and Insta. They're addicted. They're going to have to post. How are they going to put that up there for the 17 followers to see if they can't get in front of their camera and post it? No, this is it, man. This is the future of dispersing crowds. Cut off their Wi-Fi. They're addicted. They're camped out, for God's sake. They can't make it without their phones. Oh, sure. We provide them toilets. They'll bring in some meals. We allow DoorDash to bring in pizzas. Everything's good for the protesters hanging out in their little tents there at Columbia University. Cut off their Wi-Fi. Who are these people? Two-thirds of them are white women, if you ask me. Well, women, and two-thirds of them, now let's say this, two-thirds of them are women. They're not all white. A lot of them are white. I'd say half the women there are white. But two-thirds of these protesters are women. There's a lot of that. I'm going to assume that 90% or more of these women are single, unmarried. It's probably higher than that, 99%. Not sure there's a married woman in the bunch, but there could be. This was released by the Washington Examiner yesterday. I found this to be one of the most interesting things I've seen. This is gender by marital status and political party. Okay, so married men comprise 30% of the electorate. 59% are Republicans, 39% are Democrats. Okay. Married women, obviously, comprise 30% of the electorate. 56% are Republicans, 42% are Democrats. Well, this is really easy. If we get more married people in America, we win more elections. That's pretty easy. Now let's talk unmarried. Unmarried men, 52% are Republicans, 45% are Democrats. And unmarried women, here's your Swifties, here we go, the Taylor Swift effect. She has tapped into this like nobody we've ever seen. It's why she's a cultural phenomenon. It's why she's a Democrat. I don't believe she believes in Democrat policies, but this is it. Unmarried women are 23% of our electorate. Oh, by the way, unmarried men are only 16% of the electorate. The reason there is their propensity to vote. Okay? Unmarried men don't vote as much as unmarried women. Unmarried women like to bet on vote on abortion. So 7% higher number of unmarried women vote than unmarried men. So this is a much bigger cross-section than the men. It is 23% of the entire electorate is unmarried women. And they are 68% Democrats to 31% Republicans. It is an onslaught. It is a landslide. It is a takeover of America. This is, forget every other poll you see, this is the only thing that matters. As that number grows, the Democrats will take over America, and they know that. They want no marriage. They want no religion. They want unfettered abortion. They want everything that taps into young women. They will support Taylor Swift. There is a racial component to this as well, because there are more unmarried black women than white women. There are all kinds of things baked into this number. 68% of unmarried women are Democrats, 31% are Republicans, and almost a quarter of the entire vote is that segment. Unmarried women. We better fix that. That's who's protesting. It's the same freakazoids out there doing their thing. It's the Swifties. I'm sideways with Pete Mundo on this one. I'm friends with Pete Mundo, but he disagrees with me about the Swifties. I put them all in one category, and that's the category. Unmarried women. That is the category, and that is the problem with America. Unmarried women are tearing America apart, period. That's statistical and factual. It's not even my opinion. Tearing it apart is my opinion. They're winning everything for the far left. That's a fact. They're winning everything for the far left. It's nuts, man. It's absolutely nuts. Okay, on to some local politics, brought to you by Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com. See what's inside. Get your heart scan now. If you're 40 or over, heart scan's about $100 at Advanced Medical Imaging. Or if the doctor gives you the news that you need a real scan, they'll get you in today or tomorrow. Do not wait 6 weeks. Imagine if you have a cancerous tumor and you wait 6 weeks to get your scan. Well, I mean, no, don't do it. medimageks.com. And Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. Teeth love us. You will too. Your individual goals are all that matters. Fry Orthodontics, they eliminate excessive treatment. They have white glove treatment. It's friendly. It's fun. And you're going to finish with a beautiful smile that you've never had before. FryOrthodontics.com. Your first appointment is free. Mayor Q was at a council committee meeting on Tuesday night, and he got heckled because of all this illegal alien thing that he's been doing. Come on, bring us your illegal aliens to Kansas City. You know this story. We've done our part here at KKHI, and you've done your part as an audience. The media got the word out that Quentin Lucas was saying something terribly unpopular, and it's unpopular with Democrats now. Do you think black voters in Kansas City, Missouri, that live close to the city, want a bunch of Venezuelans that don't speak English to come in there and take their jobs? Do you think that's what they want? And do you think they want Mayor Lucas to use over $1 million to help house them, pay them, get them started, give them bonuses? Do you think black voters like that idea? I don't. I don't think anybody likes that idea. So Q's getting heckled at this meeting. They're bringing forth a resolution that says Kansas City cannot become a sanctuary city. And the mayor and a couple powerful people on the council with him shoot it down. So there will be no resolution about this. But Mayor Lucas says, we are not a sanctuary city. I've not said a thing about becoming a sanctuary city. He is backtracking like you can't believe. He's telling people, no, we're not a sanctuary city. But at the same time, he's not willing to do a resolution that says we are not a sanctuary city. Nor is he willing to say, it's over, forget what I said, we're not doing this. He wants it both ways. Typical of a Democrat like Mayor Quentin Lucas, who at times will try to convince you that he's Mitt Romney. And he's not. He's a radical leftist, and he wants illegal aliens in this town. The resolution was killed, but he got heckled by some people. It was awesome. He knows he made a mistake. He can't please anyone at this point, because he's got as many people on the left mad at him now as the right, which is great. The left like to cannibalize. They like to eat themselves. They do. We're seeing that with these Hamas demonstrations. The left doesn't know what to do. They've had the Jewish vote forever. I don't know why they've had the Jewish vote. Remember, the reason they don't hate Jews, okay? The reason Democrats hate Israel and Israel policy is Israel's conservative. It's the country that most looks like Republicans running it. Netanyahu is Trump to them. So they're not supporting Israel right now like they're supporting Ukraine. Ukraine's socialist. Ukraine's exactly what the Democrats want America to be. They jail their opponents. They cancel elections. They do it. Zelensky's doing whatever he wants and saying, well, it's a war. I don't have to run against anybody. I'm king. That's what they want in America. But they don't want America to be Israel. We want America to be more like Israel. We want to be tougher on crime. We want to be able to profile people if we need to at airports for security. Israel's got all kinds of things in place that are common sense and good that we can't do here because of our left. Remember, they don't like the Jews because they don't like the conservative nature of Israel. That's the main thing. It's always politics. You know, it used to be, every war's over religion. Well, the Muslims don't like the Jews. I get that part. What they really don't like is the way they live. And that's what they don't like about us. That's what they really don't like. And so, you know, we see all that. And then what can we do about it? Where do we go? What do we do next? Well, the Democrats will support him. And Mayor Q's kind of like that. He gets caught in this cannibalization thing where his own party starts looking, we don't want a sanctuary city. His voters don't want Kansas City to be a sanctuary city. Happens all the time within that party, no doubt. The Federal Trade Commission has announced that non-competes are going to be illegal in the United States going forward. Now, I think there's going to be challenges on this. It sounds right and it sounds good. As a man who signed several non-competes in his career, mine are gone, they're expired. I don't have any non-competes. I'm not bound by anything right now. I have an NDA agreement, non-disclosure. I'm limited in what I can say about the business the inner workings of the business that I used to co-own. I am limited on what I can say. And that's probably a good thing. It's a great thing for them. It's a great thing for them that I'm guarded on what I can say. It's a great thing for them. It's a great thing. And it's probably a good thing for me. Anyway, non-competes, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has said they're going to be illegal going forward. That we need to make these illegal because they keep wages down. They're disincentives for innovation and progress. I think those things are all true, but I'm going to ask you a question. If you have an employee and you ask them to sign a non-compete and they do it, they agree to it for a raise, how is that illegal? How can you make it illegal for an individual to make their own choice to sign something? Now, what should be illegal is leveraging that as a basis for employment, just as you can't use gender or religion or whatever. You can't say you only get this job if you sign a non-compete. That needs to be illegal. I agree. But once you're there and you're working and you have your job, they can't fire you for not signing a non-compete. But I think they probably have the choice whether or not to give you a raise for a non-compete. There's a price for everything. If you get offered a $10,000 raise to sign a non-compete, most people are going to sign it. How can that be illegal? We'll see. I think there will be a challenge here. I think some companies will bring forth a challenge on this. We'll see. By and large, it sounds like the right idea that non-compete should be illegal. It does. It sounds right. But as it plays out, how can you take away the individual right of an employee, a young person, let's say they're 29 years old, you got a wife and two kids at home, and you're making, you know, $60,000 a year, and they're offering you a 15% raise to $70,000 a year. If you sign a non-compete, you're not going to go across the street to your competitor. If you sign this and work here for the next 2 years under this, I'll give you this raise. How can you tell that father of two that he can't do that? I think this is going to be really interesting to see. Cicada Geddon has started. You heard about this, right? Trillions and trillions of cicadas will be hatching this year from the ground they don't come every year. Some of them come every 13 years, some every 17, whatever. And there's two species of these that are exceedingly rare. It takes years and years and years for them to come out of their dormancy in the ground and mate. And they're doing it in the same year. So this is going to be a wild year. This has started in South Carolina, and people are so freaked out, they're calling the police. It's so loud, they're calling the police on this. Cicada Geddon will reach Missouri, much of Missouri. Here's what happens. They've been dormant. The males come out of the ground after 10 years looking to mate. Can we just pause on that thought for a second? It's been 10 years since you've mated. You just came out of the ground. The way you mate is to make noise and attract the female. Yeah, it's going to be pretty loud. How much noise would you make coming out of the ground after 10 years for mating season? Nature's unbelievable. So yeah, we think we can change this planet. Good luck with that. These things live in the ground, dormant for 10 years and come out. Yeah. Oh, we got to stop driving cars. Good Lord. Our final day is brought to you by Ideal Health KC, regenerative medicine for you. If you have tried surgery, steroids, pharmaceuticals, and nothing's helped with your chronic pain, joint pain, COVID shot issues, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's onset, you need to consult with Dr. Van Camp at Ideal Health KC. Let your body's tissue work for you. 913-745-5300 for IdealHealthKC.com. Earth Effects Outdoors is your new landscape company. Give them a call for any project you have. If it's simple as dropping some mulch in your front beds, or as big as building a backyard, kitchen, and bar, they'll do it all for you. They specialize in outdoor lighting. It's low voltage. This is lighting you can keep on all night long, and it does not run up your power bill. LED lights are amazing. EEOutdoor.com. Our final is Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. He's at a game. Looks like it's a Phillies game. And, of course, a guy with a camera looks over at him. Manfred's in the first seat outside of a suite that has sliding doors. So he's come out of his suite, and he's sitting in the back row of the regular seats, which any baseball fan likes being outside. Manfred is sitting there. To his left looks like somebody that works with him. And he's the commissioner of baseball. And the fan is rolling video and hollers over at him, "Hey, Rob." And Rob Manfred turns and looks at the fan and nods. He's only about 10 feet away. "If you want the youth, end the blackouts, you dumbass." And this is about the blackouts of television in baseball being accessible to everyone. There are all kinds of weird blackouts. Even if you buy a certain package, games are blacked out because then they're on Apple or something else. It's not a problem in Kansas City. All these games are on Bally Sports. If you have it, you get everything. But in a lot of the big cities, there are certain games that aren't. They're blacked out. They're leveraged because they want people to subscribe to Apple TV for the Friday night Apple game or whatever it may be. And I'll be darned if Rob Manfred looks at him and initially is taken aback by a guy hollering at him, but Manfred's pretty cool about it. He's like, "Yeah, this is part of America today, and I've got a big fancy job, and I get paid a lot of money, so I got to take this from this guy." And he doesn't say anything back, but he kind of looks at him. He doesn't really nod, and he looks back at the game and starts watching the game. I swear I saw in Rob Manfred's eye him telling the guy, "If only I could. If only I could." Because Rob Manfred knows it would be good for growing the game. He knows it would be good for getting more fans to drop these blackouts in so many cities around the country. He knows it would be good. I think his hands are tied by the owners at this point. I'm just reading body language now. Just reading body language. But I love it. You know, he used the word dumbass. That's not the end of the world. It would have been better if it was like just regular discourse, if he just went up and didn't call the guy a name. But it was a Phillies fan. What do you expect? He's going to throw in a name. He's going to call him something. Please hit that like or follow button and share with your friends that we do a podcast here every day. Let them know about it. You've been such great warriors out there on the ground telling people about the podcast. I think we made a difference with Mayor Q in the last week or two over this illegal alien thing. It's awesome. Spread the word. The more people that hear it, the more active we get. It's an election year. We need to be active. Not the kind of active where we get tents and overtake cities, but the kind of active where we just spread the word and make sure we get to the polls and we vote. All those things are important. I'd love it if you spread the word about the podcast or if you went to thekklist.com to check out all our sponsors. Mostly, I just can't thank you enough for hitting that play button every day at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.